The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
If you are passionate about food and how it supports well-being and health, learn more. The Institute for Optimum Nutrition has been training nutritional therapists for 35 years on its highly acclaimed and accredited diploma courses. Start your new career in nutritional therapy, one that will make a difference and help others achieve their health goals. Train with the home of nutritional therapy education. Find us online and give us a call or click on the IOM banner on the UK Health Radio homepage.
Recovery Today on UKHealthRadio.com. Join me and my guests on this voyage of recovery and discovery.
Hello everyone. Hi, I'm Jim Smith and welcome to Recovery Today. Well, today I have a guest and it's a lady called Deirdre Boyd. And Deirdre has been a pioneer, really, a writer, researcher. She's delivered conferences annually. In fact, everything and anything recovery for the last two decades. I think that's right, Deirdre, isn't it?
It is, just yeah. Over, yeah.
Just over 20 years. Well, Deirdre, that's a good old Irish name. Were you born in Ireland or?
I was born in Dublin, in Dunleary.
Right.
And I came over here to London for 3 days and stayed for over three decades.
Good. Really? That's incredible.
I think a lot of Irish people do.
They do. I know that because I recently discovered my family. So I was over in Ireland a few times last year. They're amazing people, aren't they? Resilient, travel the world. And
very warm.
Yes, very warm.
And a very comfortable passport at the moment.
Yes.
Although we won't talk about Brexit.
No, we won't. No Brexit. This is a Brexit-free show. Well, I first met you.
The Addiction Recovery Foundation was the name of the charity.
Yeah, of course.
And, of course, we had the magazine and a conference.
Yeah.
And now I'm still continuing that charitable tradition. And added to that is I do a morning news service, which is all about drug and alcohol news or recovery oriented.
Yes.
Goes to about 9,500 people every morning, not Saturday and Sunday. And you can sign up for free, just put your name and address in and you get it every morning for free. And then we do a journal, which has now gone monthly because it was so popular.
Yeah.
The print version isn't monthly, but the online version is monthly. And that's popular too. That's free also. And then we have the annual conference, DB Recovery Plus UCSAD, which is held on World Drug Day. And next year, World Drug Day is Wednesday, which is a bit awkward in the middle of the week. So we think we're going to do a boat ride down the Thames, like a pre-conference.
Right.
And then the conference itself will be Thursday and Friday at the Guoman Tower Hotel, right beside London's Tower Bridge and the castle. And it's just a beautiful location on the water.
Sounds wonderful. Incidentally, I'm one of the 9,000 because I received the DB Resources email every morning and every day.
I hope you enjoy it.
I do enjoy it. It's informative. It's interesting. I think it's a fantastic service. And I actually pass it on to people in the field or anyone who, you know, may need a resource like that. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I just say the website?
I was going to ask you if you give our listeners the website.
If you want to sign up, listeners, it is free.
Yeah.
So it's www.dbrecoveryresources.com.
Okay.
dbrecoveryresources.com.
All right. Maybe at the end of the program, we just say that once more, but that's fine. Yes. So, you know, back to where it started for you, getting into this kind of work. Was it from your own experience?
It was. I got into recovery. Yeah. I've been clean and sober since the 1st of July, 1991.
Yeah.
Thanks to some people in work. I was very, very blessed. I worked with a big multinational, and they actually paid for me to go to rehab after I refused them a few times.
Yes.
Things just got worse.
Yeah.
But they paid for me to go to rehab, which is a great kickstart, you know,
it's
a jump start into recovery.
Yeah.
And I had some very serious issues to deal with, so I went to extended care and mutual aid meetings, which the rehab linked me up to, which I always think is the very best way to do it, is a bit of professional care and mutual aid. And so I've been clean and sober now since, as I say, 1st of July 1991.
That's wonderful. And in the rehab, it was an abstinence-based treatment?
It was. It was a 12-step-based therapeutic setting.
That's right. And we're encouraged, aren't we, to live our lives one day at a time.
One day at a time, as I say, if you have one foot in the past and one foot in the future, you're in an excellent position to you-know-what on the present.
That's very good. And in fact, you know, I bring music into, because it's been a big part of my life and still is, you know, it's the way I work within this field. And so I asked my guests to choose, you know, three tracks. And your first choice was just that, is just that, isn't it? It's One Day at a Time by Mr. Joe Walsh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll play that now, shall we? And then come back, okay?
Brilliant.
One Day at a Time, Joe Walsh. One Day at a Time, Joe Walsh.
Great thing about you know, one day at a time,
yeah.
is when I got to rehab, I was always so worried about the past and what would happen yeah. and the future and everything.
Yeah.
And being told to keep it at one day at a time and to be in the moment, to be in the day.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm allowed to mention to your listeners that there's a cat in the back.
Yes, it's Deirdre's cat. It's a lovely cat walking around.
Yeah, but she wants the attention focused on
her. Yes, yeah.
Well, anyway, going back to rehab, for me, it was very novel idea just to be in the moment.
That's right.
And not to worry. I mean, in my family, we were sort of addicted to being worried.
Yes.
And we'd worry if we had nothing to worry about.
That's right, yeah.
So just to be in the moment, and of course, what I didn't realise at the time is that is completely what meditation and mindfulness is about. It's just being in the moment, you know.
Yes,
and in the moment,
yeah,
I was good. In the moment, you know, I was clean, I was warm, I was washed, I was looked after.
Yeah.
In the moment, there was nothing harming me.
Nothing at all.
Absolutely nothing.
I always say that because I go to rehabs a lot and do my music and stories, and I always... you know, suggests that the patients just stay in the now because they have nothing to worry about. No one can hurt. You know, as you just said, once we're in the now, was it yesterday's history and tomorrow is a mystery?
And also, if we're in the now, when I was there, there was nothing I could do to change anything other than changing me.
That's it, yeah.
Well, I could not change anything by worrying about it.
No. I mean, I did suffer with extreme anxiety for a few years when I came into recovery. So all those, principles really helped me. I mean...
they do. And then you come up to step three, and that's the beginning of the quality of recovery. It's the beginning of quality recovery.
That's right.
Letting go, which I'd never done before.
No, I'd never let go.
But, you know, I'd never been taught how to.
No.
I didn't know how to let go.
That's right.
And when you think about if your life is unmanageable, how wonderful to be able to let go.
Exactly.
But in a manageable way.
Yeah, yeah.
And trusting, you know.
That's right. I remember somebody saying, how do you let go? And the answer came back, by not holding on. And then they said, well, how do you not hold on?
Exactly.
By letting go.
Oh, no, that's very frustrating. It's a horrible...
it is a bit,
but it's very, very hard to get. It's an easy, it's simple but not easy.
It's a simple concept, but it's not easy. No.
And in step three, it doesn't say we let go. It says we made the decision.
Decision, yeah.
And that often is the only thing you can do. You make a decision, I've got to try and let go.
That's right.
And if you do the right thing, eventually it happens.
Yes.
And of course it gets easier and easier as time goes on. Yeah. At the beginning, it's really difficult.
Yeah. So how have you, it's a vast question really, but how have you found your recovery since coming in, you know, since that day to the rehab? I mean.
Well, I think it feels like a long time ago now. Well, it's over a quarter of a century.
Yes,
you know?
It is. Yeah.
I do remember that when I was going to rehab, the one thing I hoped to get out of it, I didn't understand what rehab was.
No.
I had no idea what rehab or recovery or anything was.
No.
But what I wanted was not to wake up full of shame the next morning.
That's right, yeah.
That, to me, that was the overwhelming memory I had, or the overwhelming hope, that I would wake up in the morning free of shame.
Sure, yeah.
Because I used to black out. I just wouldn't remember.
That's right.
And at the end, you know, I didn't go out and do things, but I was filled with shame because I'd stay at home, but I couldn't stop myself drinking.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do these drunk calls.
Yes.
And all I can think is, thank God I was not drunk in the days when we had social media.
Oh, yes.
Thank God.
Yes, you know?
On the other hand, it might help some people get into recovery earlier. You don't know. But you know, it was bad enough worrying about, you know, drug dialing without worrying about anything else.
Yeah.
And it's all I wanted was to wake up the next morning and remember the night before.
Sure.
Know that I hadn't drunk.
Mm.
It was as simple as that at the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
And it, you know, they give the promises and they say they'll exceed all expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, they did exceed expectation because I couldn't imagine the things I got.
No.
I was so cut off from my emotions.
Yes,
so
yes,
cut
yes,
off,
yes.
You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I couldn't conceive of having good emotions when
that's
I couldn't
right.
feel them, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
My abuse started when I was very, very, very young.
Mm,
and so
mm.
I just was not used to holding emotions.
No, no.
And I think most of recovery really is about, most people say when they're in recovery that it's really about emotional sobriety.
Yes, they do, they do. And they say the longest journey in the world starts with the first step, but also the longest journey in the world is from the head to the heart.
Exactly.
I totally agree with that,
yeah.
Yeah, we are frozen, very much so, when we come in.
Yeah, and step two, you know, the insanity is not being in touch with your emotions and believing that everything comes out of your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and to be in touch with your emotions, with your gut feelings, your sixth sense, you know, everything works in sync.
That's it.
And you are in the moment and you are earthed.
Yes,
and
yes,
peaceful
earthed, yeah.
And internally powerful.
Sure.
That's just feeling at one with the universe, I think.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Well, Deirdre, you had a lot of experience in charitable work with research, you know, writing, lobbying. I know you spend a lot of time in Parliament and on social media, which has all led, really, isn't it, to 4 years ago when you founded DB Recovery Resources.
That's correct, and it continues the charity's work. As I say, we do the morning news. We have a free magazine every month.
Yeah.
Online, we do the conference. Not so much lobbying anymore. The lobbying, I should make clear, was always about trying to increase access to rehab.
Right, yes,
and helping people into recovery.
Yes.
It's not like cigarette lobbying.
No, it was
always about, maybe lobbying is the wrong word, but it was always about campaigning.
Sure, yeah.
And it's difficult now because
there
isn't a minister in charge of it.
No, that's
there
right.
isn't a department really in charge of it.
No.
And also, I don't know if your listeners are aware, but the commissioning, i.e. the purchasing of treatment, has all now been devolved to local authorities.
Yes.
So it's very hard for rehabs to get together because what the rehabs have to do is they have to go to their local authority as opposed to working together to approach one central point.
Yeah.
Although one good move recently has been support for children of alcoholics. And that was really driven by Liam Byrne MP and John Ashworth, the Shadow Minister for Health, and Caroline Flint MP, because they're all children of alcoholics.
I see.
And they've done a lot of work, and they worked across government with Jeremy Hunt and then Matt Hancock from the Conservatives announcing the funding this year.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
For children of alcoholics.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, yeah. Would you like to say a few words about the annual conference? You have various international speakers.
We do. It's 2 days, and we try to keep cover the whole spectrum of care, and we start off with Nuji, and who we will have again next year is Professor John Kelly, who is Harvard's first professor of addiction medicine. And he has done a huge amount of research into the effectiveness of 12-step groups and mutual aid groups, vast amount. Him and Professor Keith Humphreys, who also spoke in 2018.
Yeah.
And hopefully again we'll have from the UK Professor David Best, who has done a vast amount of research about life and recovery.
Right.
And he's done it not only in the UK but across various countries, so we can compare country to country. That's building up speed or building up, you know, its spread and its reach. And it's absolutely fantastic. And what he found, for example, is that people in recovery give back, and people in recovery tend to do charitable works about 3 times more than the general population do.
Yeah, that's
I need to check that actual statistic, but it is a few times more.
Yes.
And it's about giving back, I think. And again, we're coming back to step 9 of the 12 steps.
That's
making amends,
of course.
And the last part of step 12, which is, you know, practice these principles in all our affairs.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Now, for your second piece of music, I mean, you've spoken a lot about rehab and recovery communities, really, mm-hmm. springing up. And the whole essence, really, of this is friendship, isn't it? And,
yes. Friendship, so, sponsorship.
Yes.
And, you know, those two theories about, you know, why do 12-step groups and mutual aid groups, there's two theories.
Mm.
Well, my favourite two theories as to how they survive and survive for so long, as opposed to just the 12 steps and 12 traditions.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a question people have asked, which is, what is the difference between adult love and a child's love?
Sure.
And the response is, a child is loved until they are able to love.
Yes.
And an adult loves until they might be loved back.
That's very
And when we go into recovery, I mean, I don't even remember the sense of feeling loved until I got into recovery. No. In fact, I felt it when I got into rehab.
That's right, me too.
But we are like that child because we are emotionally immature.
Exactly.
And we are loved by the other members until we are capable of loving.
Loving ourselves.
Loving ourselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Loving others.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's very important. And that's then we become capable of adult love. And again, this ties in with the charitable work that Professor Best has proven.
Yes, that's right.
And the other definition is Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes, I know that very
again,
well.
Which again, coming into recovery, the first one is purely physiological, food, water,
food, shelter, warmth.
Exactly.
And then
safety is the next one.
Safety,
Now, some of us might not have known safety.
No,
until we got
not.
Into recovery. And
that's
I certainly know, you know, I chose very unsafe men.
Yeah,
you know,
lack of boundaries and
very violent, unsafe men. Basically, so I didn't feel safe until rehab and then the recovery groups. And then the third step of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is love.
Love.
And we've just talked about that child's love and adult's love.
Yes.
And to me, and then of course you go on to self-realisation.
Self-actualisation.
Exactly.
Which is,
But at the beginning of recovery, we're not aware of those things.
And for me,
it's that combination that keeps the fellowships going.
It is.
And helps us grow.
Yeah. I've often seen recovery, when I look back in my own recovery, as delayed development.
Mm.
Doesn't matter what age we come into, we're for the first time, we're doing these social and interpersonal things that we've never done, clean and sober.
Exactly.
So we're actually growing. Might be 55 when we come in, or 60, but we're still going through that adolescence in a way.
Haven't had the emotional maturity.
That's
and
right.
as you said, this song, you've got a friend. Some people say it's other people recovering. Some people say it's your sponsor. I've heard Elton John, I think it was saying that it was a sponsor. But it's such a good recovery song. You know, Elton John has done it. Lady Gaga's done it.
Well, we're playing James Taylor.
And James Taylor. So and all of them are open about being
in
recovery.
They are, very much so. Anyway, here it comes, You Got a Friend by James Taylor.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, now all you got to do is call. and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, yeah. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend when people can be so cold? They'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, baby, about winter, spring, summer, or fall. Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
Okay, well, we're coming into 2019, new year, new beginnings. Mm-hmm. Have you got any particular things that you want to, you know, talk about 2019?
2019, I think times are getting tough for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think it's not only that times are getting tough, but I think some people are losing hope, not just about recovery, which obviously when you're in recovery, things are great, but you still have life's problems.
Yes.
People are, I think people don't take enough self-empowerment,
that's right,
enough self-responsibility. Mm. I think maybe it's time to take action, to do what you can, to improve your own situations as opposed to relying on others, or not 100%. It's about being interdependent.
Yes.
Everything's about balance, isn't
exactly,
it? Everything's about balance.
Yeah.
A dreadful word.
Yes.
So hard to achieve. We swing one direction, then we go to the other extreme, then we end up in the middle if we're lucky. But I think about achieving those, and I'd love just for more people, obviously, to get into recovery.
Mm.
I'd love for families of addicts and families who are addicted to be able to let go, to know joy, to break the intergenerational chain, and to actually create a wonderfully new, happy, joyful intergenerational chain.
Yes, yes.
And I'd love more people to find recovery.
Yeah.
I'd love more people to, you know, read the free news in the morning,
sure,
you know, so you find, know where the resources and the self-help groups are as well as everything else.
That's right.
And a lot of people say to me they're feeling more, the professionals say they're feeling a bit more isolated. but when they read the news, they just feel in the know and in the loop.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And as I say, the magazines are free. Sorry for plugging. And the conference, then when you meet people face to face, some people say the presentations and the topics are great, but what they really come for is to meet other people in recovery.
Of course,
and so positive, and it just fills you up, I think, and
it does,
motivates you to do more. Because we do, as it says, we need friends.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's about having your own space, but also being with positive people.
Yeah.
And maybe the easiest thing for people to do is if they're fighting someone and they've got some really negative influence, maybe it's time to let go of that negative influence and concentrate on something more positive. Again, that's one of those things that's more easily said than done.
Yeah.
But as I say, you know, how do you fight the dark? And you don't. You light a candle.
That's it. Yes, that's very good.
And sometimes,
analogy.
You know, don't think about the negative thing. Just do something positive for yourself.
That's right. When you were talking there just now, I couldn't help but remember with fondness and love, really, 2011, when I told you I'd been awarded the Winston Churchill Travel Fellowship for Music in Recovery, and you gave me a few connections in America. One of those connections was Jim and Sue Kuzak.
Yes.
And I still get the newsletters from the Veritas Villa, that wonderful rehab in upstate New York. Of course, Jim died a couple of years ago, and he was a marvellous man.
Yes.
And she's
they're a marvellous couple.
Marvellous couple, weren't they?
Yeah. And they've helped so many people.
Yeah, since 1959. Incredible. And I still, as I say, still read all the news from the villa. And when you walked into the villa, and if you remember, the sign above the reception was "The most important things in life ain't things." I thought, I'm going to like it here, you know. It was a great place. And I never forget, because they treated me so well there. And, and Jim, when it came to leaving there, packed all my gear in the back of this station wagon, ready to drive back to New York. And he said, he put his hand on my shoulder, this very elderly man in his 80s who was over 65 years sober. And he said, "Jim, remember this." He said, it's all going to be okay in the end." And I said, "Yeah, that's right, Jim." And he said, "And if it ain't okay, it ain't the end." And I always remember him saying that. And that's kind of pretty much true, isn't it? We're resilient, and people
we're very resilient. Yeah. We go through some very tough times, which are, you know, I've gone through some really tough times, which I don't think I'd have survived without recovery.
No.
And without the friends in recovery.
Me neither, no.
Because
that's
there are some bad people in this world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are.
Yeah, that's right.
And we just, sometimes we suffer the consequences of some very evil actions.
We do. And that's right. And I, last couple of years, I've gone through a lot of difficult medical issues. And, you know, if it wasn't again for my friends in recovery, you know, giving me support, practical and emotional, I don't know. I don't know where I'd be without them, really. So, yeah, that's right. Now.
But we live in a state of grace, I think.
That's a nice expression.
It is, you know, and I think, and also when these horrible times happen, it reminds you to learn to trust again. You know, obviously go through a path of distrust first, not particularly want to, but it's a natural reaction and a safety thing.
Sure, yeah.
But learning to trust and learning who the trustworthy people are.
That's right.
And valuing them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, this brings us, we're coming to the end. We're coming towards the end of the interview. You've got one more selection, piece of music, and would you like to introduce it?
This is by Henry Mabry. You may not be known to many listeners, but this song has had over 1 million views on YouTube.
Yeah.
Which is a lovely video. If you just Google Lost Days Henry Mabry, it's a lovely video accompanying it. And his brother died. Of alcoholism. He was very young still, in his 20s, I think.
Yeah.
And it's about the devastation of the family who've lost him. And obviously the hope for recovery has gone because he has died. And Henry's just such a good person, despite being ill himself. He tours schools and tries to help children.
Yeah.
With his mother, Sally, who's a dynamo.
Yes.
And it's song, but I think it would be nice for listeners also to Google it on YouTube.
Okay. All right, well, let's play it. And it's by Henry Mabry, and it's called Lost Days. Well, that was Henry Mabry singing Lost Days. And as Deirdre said, if you Google that on YouTube, it's a very powerful video. Well, you'll say a little bit at the end, Deirdre, about the discount. And it's one heck of a discount for your conference. And it's a wonderful conference. So Deirdre will give you those details in a minute. But thanks for being my guest today. And
pleasure.
You've had, it's 27 years. It's quite amazing. And you've had a long life in recovery. And, what can we say? I mean, what would you like to say about it?
Try it.
Try it. There we are. It's beyond words, really, isn't it?
It is. I have to say, I do live without shame because that shame I used to always dread.
Yeah.
From before recovery, I try to live my life the best I can.
Yes.
And with the principles, and sometimes I pay a high price for living by my principles, but it would be a higher price if I didn't, personally.
No, that's right. That's right. It's in the early days, and it applies now, of course. But I remember when people said, you put your head on the pillow at night after reviewing the day or doing a step 10, and you just put your head on the pillow and you feel good.
Yeah.
Like an inside shower. Yeah. And that's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. And there's something else related to that, which somebody said to me, which has always stuck with me, which is he said, if I wrote a list of all my problems and put it on the kitchen table and then went out and got drunk, when I came home, I'd only have to add things to that.
Exactly. No, that's very good. All right. Well, look, just say a bit about the conference this June.
We have three websites. I hope that's not too confusing for readers.
No, go on.
But you should find details of each and all of them. But the conference website is www.recoveryplusdb.com. So that's recoveryplusdb.com.
Hmm.
And if you book in December, I know it's early for next June, but you get £100 a day off.
Yeah.
If you book for one day, it's 75 instead of 175. And if you book for 2 days, the discount is even larger.
Hmm.
Wow. And it's beautiful. It's on the water, on the Thames by the Tower of London.
Yes, yeah.
So you've got Thames on one side, St. Catherine's Dock, which is like a marina, on the other side, surrounded by people in recovery. It's a wonderful vibe and a wonderful buzz, as well as the learning. And exhibitors there as well, and you get to meet people internationally, America, Australia, Europe. I love it, I have to say. Even, you know, they say you never enjoy your own parties, but I have started to love this one.
So look, thank you very much for being my guest this week, Deirdre. It's been a pleasure. And, you know, good luck in 2019, one day at a time, really.
Thank you, and thank you for asking me.
Okay.
Thanks again, Deirdre, for being a wonderful guest. When we were talking about Ireland initially in the interview, I got quite nostalgic because on March the 7th, 2017, I spoke with one of my siblings, Kathy, in New Jersey. And as a result of a DNA test, I was put in touch with my birth family. So as you can all imagine, it's been an incredible stage in my life and still continues to be. New beginnings in the last 2 years. So as I've got some time, I thought I'd let you know that and close with a piece of music, an Irish song that's meant a lot to me over the years. And it's called From Clare to Here. And it's by Ralph McTell. See you next week.
Well, there's four who share this room, and we work hard for the crack. And sleeping late on Sundays, I never get to mass. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way. It grows further by the day. It's a long way from Clare to here. When Friday comes around, terror's only into fighting. My mom would like a letter home, but I'm too tired for writing. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way. It grows further by the day. It's a long way from Clare to here. It almost breaks my heart when I think of Josephine. I told her I'd be coming home with my pockets full of green. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way. It grows further by the day. It's a long way from Clare to here. only time I feel alright is when I'm into drinking. It sort of eased the pain of it and levels out my thinking. Oh, it's a long, long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, and it grows further by the day. It's a long way from Clare to here. Sometimes hear a fiddle play, or maybe it's a notion. I dream I see white horses dance upon that other ocean. It's a long, long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long, long way, it gets further by the day. It's a long way from Clare to here. It's a long way from Clare to here.
Here's the number of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a fellowship for anyone who has a drinking problem. The number is 0800 917 7650. That's 0800 917 7650. The number of Narcotics Anonymous. This is a fellowship for anyone who has a drug problem. That's from 10 a.m. till midnight. The number is 0300 999 1212. 0300 999 1212. And finally, Al-Anon, which is a fellowship to support family and friends of the alcoholic. It's from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. The number is 0207 403 0888. That's 0207 403 0888.